Australia's biggest Marxism conference of 2024, brought to you by idiots, essentially. That's insane. That's funny. And people are out here like it's actually like a, it's a thing, like, to be a Marxist now on college campuses, you know. You know, as a senior at Auburn, you know, it really is a thing. Like, people are proud of it. And they're, I guess their big thing now is no longer really other issues. It's mainly just climate change. And I really did not think climate change would be that issue, but it is, ultimately. And that's just weird, bro. But I think the only climate change that we ultimately do have to worry about is when Jesus comes back and burns his whole sucker up. That's the real climate change. That's the real high increased temperatures right there. Is when this whole thing gets tossed into a lake of fire. You know, that's the real climate change. You know, and that's not really a climate change because it's more short term than long term. But it's gonna happen pretty fast. But what's up, guys? Welcome to Let It Be Heard, where we are doers of the word, not hearers only. I'm your host, Jaden Hurd, and today we got an exciting episode for you guys. We're going to be seeing Kevin O'Leary own the CNN anchor on Trump's big case in New York. We're also going to check out this weird Marxist conference. I don't know, whatever. And then we're also going to talk about how these weak Republicans signed off on this $1.2 trillion bill that passed in D.C. and really some solutions to all this stuff. Check it out. All right, so first off, we're going to start off with Kevin O'Leary owning the CNN host regarding Trump's case in New York. Check it out.
Well, let's bring in the chairman of O'Leary Ventures, Shark Tank Judge Kevin O'Leary. Kevin, so good to see you this evening. I mean, let me just jump right in here. Last time you and I spoke about the possibility of what the fine could be in this case, we now know what it is. It's more than $350 million. That's a huge financial hit, and I'm wondering, where is he going to get this money?
Actually, it's closer to half a billion with a 9% interest, assuming it'll take 18 to 2 years to actually settle this in an appeal, which I think it should be appealed. He'll work hard to raise it. I think he can do it.
Can we pause this real quick?
I don't think this...
So, actually, it's already probably taken care of now. I don't know if you guys heard, but... I don't know anything about stocks or whatever, but long story short, something happened with True Social. Am I right about this, Micah? And he basically doubled his income overnight. Yeah, True Social went public, and then he went from like $4 billion, I think, to $8 billion. I don't know. Something like that. So obviously he doesn't have to worry about these legal fees anymore, which is, I mean, I guess that's good. You know, he can just kind of focus on his campaign, but as far as that goes, that's already been taken care of. So, you know, that's interesting. But all right, you can go ahead.
Cases about Trump anymore at all, because you heard the governor of New York come out yesterday and say, look, everybody, don't be scared about doing a business in New York, because the only people we prosecute are people like Donald Trump who don't behave well. That didn't go over very well with the investment community, because we're all asking each other, who's next? This was a victimless crime. Nobody lost any money. Mm. And a judge out of nowhere put on a $355 million penalty. Mm. I mean, who's next? So if you
think
Kevin,
about before the future... I don't want to cut you off, but I hear about the so-called victimless crimes, but the laws on the books, falsification of business records in second degree, issuing false financial statements, insurance fraud, conspiracy, and all these different aspects of it, those are actual crimes. I take it your point is that these should not have been prosecuted?
Well, my point is there's never been a case like this in 75 years. Everything you just listed off is done by every real estate developer everywhere on earth in every city. Hmm. This has never, ever been prosecuted. But here's the real point that people in New York should concern themselves with. You can put your money anywhere. I'm a real estate developer. Do you think there's a chance I would ever take a chance on New York again? New York is turning itself into a flyover state.
Wow.
I have to build data centers now. I'm not going to go to New York. New York has power. It's got fiber optics. It's got Niagara Falls. But no, we're not even thinking about it. We're going to places that have the exact same thing, where we have rational governors that have never done this to investors. This is about New York and its people. If I were in New York today and I was living there, I would ask myself, maybe we should hire better management. Why is this happening to us? Why are we becoming a flyover state? Why are
So I want to give you guys a little context to this. Kevin O'Leary is by no means a Republican. Definitely not a Democrat, but he is by no means a Republican. And so this isn't just some, oh, I'm defending Trump type stuff. He's just straight up saying New York has just become a flyover state. Investors don't want to invest there anymore because of Democratic policies and weaponization of the DOJ and the weaponization. Like Trump's charges, as far as that goes, with his quote-unquote overstatement of his real estate and his worth and stuff like that, you know, and investors do this all the time. You know, real estate agents, you know, to get a greater loan at a bank, you know, everyone does it, at least according to Kevin O'Leary does, and that's what he's saying. You know, this is all alleged, but I mean, I'm by no means an expert in this stuff, but why is Kevin O'Leary, who is by no means a politician at all, like, bros, he's a Shark Tank celebrity, he's got, you know, so many investments and so many things, so he knows what he's talking about, and he's telling everybody to get out of New York, okay? This isn't political, this is just common sense, and it's showing you kind of how they're literally targeting certain people if you say the wrong thing. If you don't say what they want you to say, then you either got to get out or pay us. You know, and that's ultimately what's happening in this country. This country is no longer really the land of the free. It's starting to become very tyrannical, whether you're a politician, whether you're a businessman. If you say the wrong thing, if you get out of line, we're going to come after you. It's essentially what New York is saying. And I think Kevin O'Leary is hitting the nail right on the coffin. It's perfect, especially knowing that he's not this right winger. He's just a normal guy doing business in New York. So anyway, keep going.
Money there.
But shouldn't you ask that? Wouldn't those people also be saying, first of all, I do wonder how many people take issue with the idea that every investor is engaged in falsifying business records, that every investor is engaged in what has been accused of Donald Trump and the Trump Organization? Because there's probably a lot who are saying to themselves, I've never falsified my business records. I know what a square foot looks like. I know what I can ask for and what I have the money to support. So I wonder to what extent that really is true. But on the second point, wouldn't there be many companies who would not want to do business or loan money to people like yourself or investors if they know that they can get away with fraud and there's no recourse to protect them?
Excuse me, what fraud? This is not about Trump anymore. When you get a developer that builds a building and he says it's worth $400 million and he wants to borrow $200 million from a bank, which happens every day, everywhere on earth, including every American city, every developer is an entrepreneur. They shine the light on their building and they say it's worth $400. The bank does its own due diligence, as was done in this case, because they're very good at it. The banks are very good. And they say, no, it's worth $300. We're only going to loan you $150 million. That haggling has gone on for decades. That's how it works. And then in this case, even, the bank that was supposedly defrauded testified and said, we didn't lose anything. We want to do business with this guy again.
Wow.
We'd like to. But the judge said, no. Let's penalize this developer for $355 million. And we're going to do that. Let's penalize all the developers all across America. They've all done the same thing. All of them should go to jail, and we should stop building buildings.
Wow.
That's what the message is from New York. Even the governor herself is concerned about what this looks like to investors all around the world. It's not just U.S. domestic. Around the world, people are talking about what happened here.
Wow.
You really think people want to invest money in New York after this? How about we go somewhere else?
I don't want to cut you off, but I want to converse with you instead.
Well, you just did.
It's only because I want to have a conversation with Kevin.
Pause real quick. Okay, so they're kind of going off. But Kevin O'Leary said, we just slid right past that. The bank, I didn't know. This is all legends coming from homeboy. He's talking on the screen. I don't know exactly if this happened. I didn't really pay much attention to the actual case of it all. But apparently, the bank that supposedly is this victim said, we want to keep working with Trump. As a matter of fact, it was undervalued. That is very interesting. And the judge said, no. That, my friends, is corruption. That is third world country. Like, yeah, tyranny. Okay, that is insane. If that is true, that is crazy, and I didn't even know that. So anyway, I'm gonna let them keep yapping. This is funny.
As opposed to just having you tell me.
I respect you because you're a lawyer. You're a lawyer. You understand exactly what I'm talking about.
I got to tell you, I'm respectable for a number of reasons, Kevin O'Leary, but being a lawyer is one of those issues. But I'll tell you, when I hear your conversation, and I do want to converse with you about this point, I understand that there are legitimate concerns that were raised during the trial and will continue to be raised about who the quote-unquote, who is actually bringing the suit. It wasn't the banks who were saying that we as consumers or unsophisticated feel this way. But Letitia James, the Attorney General, and I know you want to expand beyond Trump, has suggested, well, it's about making the playing field level for those who are not the major and billionaire investors, but for those who are supposed to put business records out there, want to get a loan, the idea of making sure that they have to have the same true statements included as those who have a lot more money. Is there any weight to that for you?
Well, I ask you, who lost money. And I'll make it even clearer. You and I, we're developing a data center together. And I say to you, we can go to New York where this just happened. It's your money now. You're now an investor and you're taking risk. You're an entrepreneur with me, right beside me. We're together on the deal. Or I can show you Oklahoma, North Dakota, West Virginia, where the governors actually ran businesses. Let's go there where this never happened before. They have power. They have permits. They've got legislation that's supportive of entrepreneurship. Why would we go to New York? Why take the risk? My only point is, did we just diminish the great state of New York and the great people of New York? And shouldn't they ask for better management so they don't become a flyover state? Remember, New York has the highest taxes in the country, the worst regulatory environment, and it's incredibly mismanaged. And I'm pointing out now, on top of that, you get this insanity. A victimless crime, and forget about Trump. It's not about Trump. I don't care about Trump in this. I care about America, and I care about entrepreneurship, and I care about democracy and the fairness. The judicial system is now being criticized. People are asking themselves, the bar of New York, is this judge rational to charge $355 million? In a case where no one lost any money, is that good for the people of New York? Should the people of New York wake up to this and say, what's happening to us? Why is this becoming so perverse? Why are we the focus of this injustice? And I, nothing to do with Trump. I'm not supporting Trump. I'm supporting American entrepreneurship. And New York is slowly becoming the number one loser state in America. Wow. I'm sorry, that's what's happening.
Well, that's news to the city that doesn't sleep, but I'll tell you what, the governor has said that legitimate business operations have nothing to worry about. I, as an attorney, am looking at this issue, wondering what the appeals process will look like, because they're going to delve into that very topic that you have raised. They're going to talk about perhaps the novelty of this being, as you describe, not brought on behalf of, you know, unsophisticated consumers who may have been duped, but decisions made by loan entities who wanted to engage in business with this particular organization. That'll be really important. Go ahead, put your hand up.
I want to put up my hand and ask, Governor, who's next? Yeah. Who are you going after next? Please,
you want your hand up for that, Kevin? Put your hand down if that's the question. What do you mean?
Every entrepreneur in New York is saying, am I next? Who's next?
This is so good.
Well, let me ask you this, because you don't want to talk about Trump, but I have to ask you, because you're a businessman who likes to talk about licensing. Do you currently own or will you be buying one of these gold sneakers?
Thank you. No, it's very expensive. Very expensive. But you have to add it
That's
to the
expensive?
Branding.
Okay.
You have to add it. I collect watches.
Wow.
Two of them right here. I'd rather buy a watch.
Do you have two watches? Okay, well, you know what time it is. All right, fine. Kevin O'Leary,
all right, Micah,
you
can
end
it. That was funny, man. that's good. You know, and yeah, that's another thing. Again, Trump came out with those golden shoes, obviously, before True Social went public. And, you know, I'm assuming some of those funds were going to go towards legal fees, but obviously he doesn't need that anymore. But he's right. Very good marketing. What do I think about this? Well, obviously, I agree with everything Kevin said. I mean, the guy is obviously a neutral party in this case, yet he's shocked. And that he's shocked because he knows the absolute hypocrisy that is the Democrat Party and the Democrat funded justice system in that state. You know, the Attorney General and all of them, they're all corrupt. The judge, everyone, the governor, everyone. And it's very sad that we no longer can trust our judicial system. You know, we've gotten to a point into this country where it's become normal to really bump into the conservative on the street. It's very normal to make anti-white racial jokes. You know, it's very normal to celebrate things that should not be celebrated, and it's very normal to put down things that should be celebrated, you know? And sadly, a lot of our money's going to it through tax dollars. A lot of our money's going towards it through many things. But a lot of you guys are funding this willingly. A lot of you guys are funding this willingly. And my friends, unlike you guys, I'm tired of supporting this nonsense. You know, we should be funding good things, good companies with good values, which is why I highly recommend you guys switch over to Patriot Mobile. Are you guys tired of compromise? Are you guys tired of funding the left? Well, Patriot Mobile is an example of putting the cause ahead of the profits, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team, which makes switching super easy. You get to keep your number, you get to keep your phone, or you can upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/herd or call 972-PATRIOT. When you use my code HERD, you get a free activation, my friends. So if you go to patriotmobile.com/herd, use code HERD for a free activation today. And again, they have an amazing U.S.-based customer service. They can all help you out. I highly recommend you guys switch over. Stop funding the left and start funding things and issues that you care about. This is a really good cause, and this is ultimately how we're going to win back the culture, win back our country, and make America great again. So, my friends, go to patriotmobile.com/herd. Use code HERD for free activation. Now, back to it. Like I said, Kevin Lilly is right. And ultimately, the takeaway that we should have from this video, ultimately, is where do we go from here when it comes to New York? Where do we go from here, really, when it comes to all over this country with entrepreneurship? You know, I'm a big capitalist guy. I believe in free markets. And, you know, ultimately, I'm very scared about where this country is going to go, because if things like this are happening in New York, again, where entrepreneurs really took off in this country, who's next? And like Kevin O'Leary said, again, who's next? Am I next? You know, so, you know, I'm very concerned about that. But anyway, we're going to move on to the next story. But I hope you guys enjoyed that video. So, my friends, oh, we just passed a $1.2 trillion spending bill. And I'm less mad about the bill itself than the context of this bill, okay? So, why don't we just start off with who signed off on this bill? It's a $1.2 trillion, my friends. We're like $30 trillion in debt already. We don't have any money. We're broke. And we're still printing money. We're still spending money on things, my friends, that don't matter, by the way. We're not helping ourselves with any of this stuff. It's not going to us. It's going to other countries. We'll get into all that. But real quick, we have an article from Newsweek. And they passed it with a vote. It was overwhelmingly, like, it won. Anyway, the vote, 74-24 in the Senate, was concluded at approximately 2 a.m. on Saturday. So this article is by Thomas Kika. So check out Newsweek, whatever, right? Okay, cool. So anyway, this stupid trillion-dollar, I don't even know what it is at this point. What is it again? $1.2 trillion bill passed. Every single Democrat voted for the bill. But get this, except for Senator Michael Bennett of Colorado, I don't know who that is, and Senator Bernie Sanders. Senator Bernie Sanders had enough common sense to not sign off on this bill. Unless, like my producer Micah said earlier, he said, or maybe it wasn't enough. And it wasn't enough money spent. But I'm of the opinion, maybe Bernie Sanders just didn't like this bill. I hope not. I mean, I hope that's what it is. A few independents didn't sign off on it, but we don't care about them. What I really want to look at is these Republicans who did not vote, who was Mike Braun of Indiana and Rick Scott of Florida, out of all people. I know a lot of you guys are a big fan of Rick Scott. Why don't you guys email his office or call his office and ask him why he didn't vote on this bill? But honestly, Rick Scott is the least of my worries in the Republican Party at the moment, where we now have a list of Republicans who decided to join the Democrats and sign off on this bill. There's a total of 25 who did sign off on this bill. And you guys, most of these names you're not going to be surprised by, but you're going to be surprised by some of these names. Some of you are. I'm not surprised by it, but anyway, let's just name some of these people. Okay. Susan Collins of Maine, you know, you got Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. You got Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. You got Mitt Romney of Utah. You know, so you got guys in here that suck, that you just know, okay, I mean, these guys suck, okay? And you're not surprised, necessarily. But I want to point out some specific people, specifically one person, and that's Katie Britt of Alabama. Katie Britt was the lady who was voted in that conservatives in this state were excited about. You know, Trump endorsed her. Actually, Trump pulled his endorsement from someone who I felt like deserved his endorsement, who deserved to be in office, and that's good old Mo Brooks. You know, we called him MAGA Mo. You know, that guy had a great voting record. He's conservative, pro-life, loved the guy. He actually came and spoke to our Turning Point USA chapter here at Auburn University. Good guy. So Donald Trump decides to pull his endorsement from Mo Brooks because of, again, again, I don't care how you guys feel about Donald Trump. His ego got attacked. That's what happened. And Mo Brooks just said, we simply need to focus on 2022. That's all he said. And he wasn't denying that the election was stolen. As a matter of fact, he was one of the chief cornerstones in Trump's campaign to promote this election interference. Like he was right next to Trump saying the election was stolen, which I agree. And I don't have an issue with saying that. But as soon as Mo Brooks decided to focus on 2022, Trump took it out on him. And really, I think that's just a facade because, if I'm being honest, Mo Brooks didn't run the best campaign. And so Trump probably saw a loss coming. And so he decided to probably endorse Katie Britt for his voting record. Again, that's like three strikes of just egoism right there. No, you should stand on principle, Trump, and vote for the person who was best for the state. And that was Mo Brooks. Sadly, though, we got Katie Britt who signed off on this bill. Now, a lot of you guys may not be as mad as I am about this bill right at the moment, but you will be in about 30 seconds when I tell you what this bill specifically actually did and funded. And you're going to think twice about Katie Britt and a lot of these other 25 Republicans who decided to vote off on this bill. And I'm going to have a list of these Republicans in the description. And you guys can see for yourselves. I'm also going to we're going to have the article obviously up here, so you'll be able to see it. But call these offices, my friends, email these people and ask them, why did you vote on this bill? Why did you vote for this bill? Now, let me just list a few things that are included in this bill. You guys are going to be blown away. But you guys ready for this? Every single issue that we are against here at RSBN is what this bill supports. And that's what Katie Britt and Mitch McConnell and your terrible Republicans voted for. Let's list off some of these, okay? So $850,000 for a gay senior home. $15 million to pay for Egyptians' college tuitions. $400,000 for a gay activist group to teach elementary kids about being trans. $500,000 for a diversity, equity, and inclusion program at a zoo. It's called the Anti-Racist Nature Appreciation Program. $400,000 for a group to give clothes to teens to help them hide their gender. $1.5 billion Green New Scam Funding. That's what I like to call it. Green New Scam funding. $300 to $500 million to Ukraine, Secretary of Census Initiative. Continues funding Joe Biden's border invasion, obviously. 12,000 Afghan special immigrant visas and authorization to support loans to the International Monetary Fund. It offers benefits for illegal aliens, late-term funding for abortions at home and abroad. That's more like the United Nations funding. Diversity, equity, inclusion funding initiatives across the nation for universities or whatever. And then it also funds the FBI new headquarters, which also, by the way, Trump supports as well. So that's just a few things that that's on that thing. And I'm gonna list the bill and link in the description. You can find the whole thing, but it's basically a combination of multiple things combined into one. So it's not just like one bill on its own. It's like a bunch of things. But that's just a few things that your Republicans are supporting in this nation. Now, again, it's on you guys. I'm just a messenger. I'm not inciting any violence. I'm just saying maybe you should make some calls, shoot some emails, show up to their offices with some cameras, and just do your due diligence as citizens. But I'm just a messenger. You take that for what you will, okay? His article goes on to say, Republicans and Democrats were at odds over the size of the budget, with conservatives pushing for spending cuts to reduce the national debt, which is exactly what I believe we should be doing, while progressives saw increased spending on social programs and climate change initiatives. In the wake of the bill's passage in the House, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, a Georgia Republican, filed a motion to oust GOP House Speaker Mike Johnson of Louisiana. The previous speaker, Representative Kevin McCarthy, a California Republican, was similarly ousted from the role last year after cooperating with Democrats to pass a stopgap funding bill and avert a government shutdown. Again, I don't really at this point have an issue with government shutdowns. I mean, at this point, like what are we losing at this point? We're already $30 trillion in debt. We have an open border. We have late-term abortion funding going on across the country. We don't really care about our First or Second Amendment rights at this point as a country. And most importantly, God has completely gone out of our textbooks and our classrooms, and Gen Z and millennials are more atheist now than ever. So ultimately, a government shutdown doesn't really sound like the worst thing in the world, you know? But again, my biggest concern is you have an Alabama senator, Katie Britt. Alabama, like, you're supposedly your most conservative state in the South, is perfectly okay with doing this stuff. I mean, you also got Tom Cotton out of Arkansas, you got Kevin Cramer out of North Dakota, and you got Deb Fischer out of Nebraska. This one's concerning Roger Wicker out of Mississippi. So, I mean, these are just a few of your senators who are just no longer have any spine and have kind of turned away. It's sad. It's sad. And, you know, I don't really have anything else to say about that. But, you know, that's a story out of D.C. At this point, D.C. should be its own country. I kind of agree with the Democrats. Make it its own state and then let it secede from the union. You know, but yeah, no, Mike, you don't like that? Make D.C. its own state and then just let it be its own country at this point. They would never leave the U.S. Yeah, I know. Unless we kick them out. And then make the capital, you know who should make the capital? We should make the capital and no longer Washington, D.C. It should be Auburn, Alabama. That is, I hope y'all heard that. Do you think they're going to catch that on the audio? He said that, for you guys listening on maybe Spotify or maybe watching on YouTube or Rumble, he said that it should be, the capital should be split between three different cities, one being the legislative capital, the executive capital, and the judicial capital. That is 10 out of 10. I like that. That's a real checks and balances type government right there. That's how you drain the swamp. Yeah, I like that. Oh man, Micah, you ever thought about running for president? No. Oh gosh. Okay. Anyway, that's the story out of DC. Do with that information what you will. I highly recommend that you guys take some action though. because ultimately this country's falling apart. At this point, I don't care. I'm a citizen of heaven, okay? All right, I'm a pilgrim passing through. I care about my country, but at this point, if it goes away, it goes away. Jesus is coming back soon. That's all I'm concerned about. Anyway, let's move on to the next thing. So we got this video out of Australia, I think it is, of this Marxist conference. And these people are a little bit too excited to be Marxist. I don't know. And I think I saw, you'll see how crazy it is. Just check this video out.
My favorite thing about Marxism is learning about all the inspiring struggles that people and workers all over the world, people fighting back, resisting the system, asking for more than what the bosses are giving you.
There's so many wonderful people to talk about radical politics with.
Pause it real quick. I think the irony of what she said, the beauty of Marxism is that the employees are coming out and demanding more from their bosses. That I hope you guys know the irony of that. You know, under communism, there is no employees begging their bosses for more money because their bosses aren't going to have any money to give them. Just saying. Anyway, keep going. Sorry.
The fact that there's so much energy and passion in all
of
the rooms.
Look at all those masks.
I came to Marxism because I'm a socialist myself.
Pause it. Is this 2024? Is this Marxism Conference 2024? Oh my goodness. Did you see all those masks? Go back. Go back in that room. Sorry. For you guys who are listening, there's a Marxist conference, and they have it every year. This is 2024, and they have masks on.
The fact that there's so much energy and passion in all of the rooms.
I came to Marxism because I'm a socialist myself, and I think it's really important for people with similar politics to get together and discuss different debates and ideas, and there's no bigger or better place to do it than Marxism.
The international speakers that come are like, you cannot miss the opportunity. On top of that, not just building
education,
but
It's a must miss event, my friends. That's what he meant to say. Go ahead, Micah, sorry.
Networks for organization in the future to have a real impact on changing the world.
I've learned more over this weekend in Melbourne than I've learned in an entire year of my classes back in Canberra.
It's a great weekend. There's some things that will stay with me for a very long time.
The best part, I think, has just been the discussions in the sessions, actually. There's been quite a lot
of
debate and, you know, different ideas. So it's not just passively being lectured to, but there's people actively contributing, and I've really enjoyed that.
So I'm a revolutionary Marxist, and there's no other place I'd want to spend my Easter weekend than amongst, you know, other comrades, other revolutionaries, chatting politics.
After coming here, it's kind of solidified to me that, like, change really doesn't come from above. It's not going to come from the Elon Musks of the world. It's going to come from
true. The
people that already know that climate change is an
pause
issue.
Pause it real quick. Actually, that's actually not true. Despite what most people say, what most people think, most of the culture really, it downstreams from the very top. You know, despite what most people say, no, it's the people. It's the people that changes the culture and the pol. No, not really. Notice how the masses, the sheep, follow who all the leaders are. Notice how abortion was normalized after Roe v. Wade was passed as a, whatever it was, the Supreme Court case of Roe v. Wade happened, right? And then, so notice how abortion became more normalized, became more like, oh, okay, it's not a big deal. Where now, I guarantee if you pass an abolitionist bill, if you just pass a bill, criminalize abortion from the moment of conception, no exceptions, and you just fast forward to 50 years from now, abortion would not be the norm. It would be, and most people would be pro-life. Most people would be anti-abortion. Because ultimately, culture is the downstream of politics. I believe that. A lot of people may disagree with me on that. That's okay. But I truly believe if you made the laws right, people would just get in line. And that's happened all throughout history, mostly. But still, you know, and America is this quote-unquote social experiment where, you know, you're trying a new government system, a democratic republic and stuff like that. But ultimately, I do believe that, and it's not just abortion, it's anything. If the right laws are passed, the right people are in power, people will fall in line and culture will get better. I don't believe that it starts from the homeless man on the street or from the very bottom up. I believe it starts from the top down. And, you know, people may disagree with me on that. So I think that's like a completely wrong thing that he just said. Just completely wrong. And, of course, a Marxist believes that because Marxism ultimately, or this is what they say, but they care about the single employer, or not employer, employee, right? So they care about that bottom guy. At least that's what they think they're doing, but really they're taking away rights from that bottom guy. And so of course they're going to believe that really culture comes from the bottom up, and that's not true. It's never been true really in any society. So anyway, keep going.
It's going to come from the working class.
No, it's not.
I'm here right now because the world under capitalism is completely shit. The climate crisis is threatening to destroy.
So the world under capitalism is completely blank, right? She's talking to the camera. She's got some clothes. She's got some nice clothes on. I'm sure she has an iPhone in her pocket. And she's saying all that. She's living a terrible life, my friends, under capitalism. Her life is awful. She spent money to go to a conference, a Marxism conference, to talk about how terrible her government is. That gives her the right to speak about it. Oh, man, what a terrible capitalist society we live in. All right, sorry, go ahead.
The planet that we rely on to survive. We're in danger of seeing world.
Why do they keep talking about climate change? What does climate change have to do with? Okay. Well, I can see how that ties into capitalism, and they can blame the systems and stuff like that. But is that really their hill? Is that their new like big shtick? Is capitalism and climate change like that's the devil? Really? I don't know. Anyway, sorry. Keep it going.
World War III within the next 100 years, and that's not the kind of world that I want to live in, and I don't think that anyone else is going to help us change things. So if you want to get involved and be an activist, Marxism Conference is for you, and it's fucking fantastic to meet other people who actually care about changing the world.
Australia's biggest Marxism conference of 2024, brought to you by idiots, essentially. That's insane. That's funny. And people are out here like it's actually like it's a thing, like, to be a Marxist now on college campuses, you know. As a senior at Auburn, you know, it really is a thing. Like, people are proud of it, and their big thing now is no longer really other issues. It's mainly just climate change, and I really did not think climate change would be that issue, but it is ultimately. And that's just weird, bro. But I think the only climate change that we ultimately do have to worry about is when Jesus comes back and burns this whole sucker up. That's the real climate change. That's the real high increased temperatures right there. Is when this whole thing gets tossed into a lake of fire. You know, that's the real climate change. You know, and that's not really a climate change, because it's more short-term than long-term, but it's going to happen pretty fast. But, if that's the hill they want to die on, that's okay, you know. I'm just curious of what system is best for a person who genuinely cares about the environment, and I believe that that's capitalism. Capitalism offers you things like conservation, right? So as a capitalist, as a free market person, there is an incentive to take care of the environment, because if you want your land to prosper, if you want your country to prosper, if you want your entrepreneurs to do well, if you want businesses to do well, that does require a good environment. That's an incentive to do so. Under Marxism, everyone makes the same amount of money, you own nothing, and you're happy. Okay? There is zero incentive in that system for any equality. There's no incentive in that system for any morality. There's no incentive in that system to take care of the environment, because who cares? We don't own it anyway. But if you're a capitalist, if you're a free market person, most of us probably own land. Most of the land that's out there is probably privately owned, and there's an incentive to take care of that, because ultimately, if that land messes up or there's something goes wrong with your land, that's your behind. Okay, and ultimately, that's how a lot of these people survive. Farmers, these are hunters, gatherers. You know, these are people that take care of our society. And so ultimately, capitalism, free market capitalism, is the best system for conservation, for forests, for climate change, all that stuff. you should be anti-Marxist if you're super big on climate change. And again, I'm not really super big on climate change. I don't really care. I know it's going to happen. This Earth's going to blow up anyway, but not the way they think it is. And so that's what I'm looking forward to. That's what I'm watching for that. I don't really care about our temperatures going up a degree every 175 years, which is probably not a real statistic. I just made that up, but you get the point. So yeah. Anyway, that's my reaction to that whole thing. If you're a Marxist, I just ask why. Like, that's really your belief, bro. You spend your time reading Karl Marx. Fun fact about Karl Marx, but a lot of you guys are social justice warriors, by the way. Why don't you read some about what Karl Marx thought about, you know, your fellow black neighbor, okay? Why don't you read about what Karl Marx really thought about some of these minorities, you know, and do some research and come back to me whether or not you're still a social justice warrior or a Marxist, because you can't be both, you know, or you can be a hypocrite. Most of them are, so anyway, that'll be it for that. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Man, anyway, cut it off. I'm done. All right, so that was an interesting video. You know, I'm not talking about just a past video, but the whole thing. Again, my friends, call your representatives. Go to those offices and make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be representing you, not themselves, okay? As far as these other videos, man, again, this world is going crazy. Kevin O'Leary killed it, and again, these Marxists, bro, again, no words. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed that video. Have a good rest of your week. Stay safe, and God bless. Thank you guys so much for watching this video. Be sure to check me out on Instagram, TikTok, and X. And be sure to hit that follow button and that join button if you're here on Rumble. It'll take you over to our local channel where you can further support the show and get access to additional content. If you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button and that like button. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you're listening on, give us a 5-star rating and share with your friends and family. Again, thank you guys so much, and God bless.